Begin the current daf mesef tisyum daf lamed alf. We begin 6 lines down from the top of the amud. The Gemara continues the discussion from the Mishnah of the previous daf, and that is the Mishnah opened up on the previous daf that even a tar person, if he's coming into the azar in the morning to do the avodah, then he has to go ahead and immerse himself in the mikveh beforehand. Now the Gemara has the following interesting question. Ibayilu, they asked the following question: Mahu sheyasa sakan arucha? What is the halacha? Is an individual, let's say a kohen, allowed to make a large knife to exempt himself from immersing in the mikveh? How so? He's going to stand outside the azara, and he'll stretch the knife inside, v'yishchet, and then he'll slaughter. And then the question is he exempt in that situation from tefillah? Or maybe that even in such a case, he would require tefillah. Now, as Rashi explains, regarding the actual validity of the carbon, that wasn't a question in the Gemara, because even if the one who's standing outside and shechting, it's going to be kasha, as the Gemara says in Masechet Zvachim, on Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, it says, ben ha-bakar lefnei Hashem, that the animal that's being slaughtered has to be in front of Hashem, but the Gemara makes the drush of aloi sheichel lefnei Hashem. The slaughterer doesn't have to be. So essentially, mitzat halacha is allowed to stand outside. But what would be the halacha regarding the chi of tefillah, immersion that one has when because generally it comes together. When you're doing the avayit, you come to Azar, so you require a tefillah. What would be in such a case? So now the Gemara explains that tiboy le ben zayma, this question can be asked both according to the opinion of ben zayma, who, as we quoted on the previous daf, that he was the most stringent opinion regarding this tefillah that one has to do every morning, even if he's tar coming into the azara, and that is because he holds this even midday rice, he learns it out from a kabbal chayma. And tiboy le rabban and the pligal er Rabbi Yehuda, and you could also ask the question according to the polar opinion regarding this machlokes, the rabban who argue, one of the brayos on Rabbi Yehuda, that they say that no, there's not even a chiyuv for anybody. If you're tar, you don't have to make any tefillah coming into the azara when you're coming in. And it's only by mitzari that they held, and that's why it was called lishkas ha-mitzari, because he had to go ahead and do a tefillah on his 8th day. But a regular person doesn't have to do a tefillah. So now the Gemara says, according to either opinion, the question is still a valid question, as the Gemara explains. Tibayla ben Zayma, you could pose the question according to ben Zayma's opinion, that is, Ad kan lo mechayv ben Zayma. Until here, we understood that ben Zayma held it's actually a biblical requirement for anybody coming into the Azara, who even if he's tarred to do a tefillah, immerse himself in the mikvah, that was illegavoy. That was only for the inner part of the Azara. In other words, someone that's coming in, yes, he has to do a tefillah. But if you're on the outside, then you don't have to. Yes, you might be doing an avodah, but you never entered into the confines of the Azara, so there's no chiv. But the other side of the question is, no, that maybe he might get drawn in. You're doing something that's inside, you might end up going in, and therefore there would be a chiv of a tefillah. And then similarly, Tiboyle Rabbanan de Pligal El Behuda. We could ask the question on the other end of the spectrum, according to Rabbanan, who are going to be Huda, who they generally held, no one has to do a tefillah when they're coming in for their tar. But Ad Kanlo Kamir Rabban Hasam, when did we find over there that Rabban say that one is exempt? Is Dilay covered Avaida? It was someone that's not doing Avaida. But if you're just coming in, you don't have to go ahead and do a tefillah. But here where you're doing the avodah, maybe that wouldn't be the circumstance. Maybe they would agree that since you're actually doing a shechita, one of the avodahs in the base of Mikdash, even if you're outside, and even though generally they hold you don't have to, you would have to do a tefillah. Maybe there is no difference. No. Even if you're doing the avodah, they don't hold that there's a requirement for someone that's tarred to go ahead and do it in tefillah before when he's coming in to do the avodah. I think he must just take or let it stand. There's no clear resolution to this question. According to either opinion, what would be the halacha if someone's outside and by slaughtering the animal that's inside, would that mandate a tefillah or not? Now the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah from the previous daf. So he said that, and this was in the way of discussion towards what the theme of the Masecht is regarding the avodah of the Kohen Gadol in Kippurim, regarding the tevilas when someone's coming in the morning. So it says that chamish tevilas of asar kedushin tevil, that on that day of Yom Kippurim, the Kohen Gadol would immerse himself in the mikvah 5 times, and he would also have 10 different times that he would go ahead and sanctify, that means washing one's hands and feet from the kiyur, which would be one before and after every one of those tevilas. So the Gemara brings a brisa that expounds upon this concept. Turn on bundle in the brisa. Chamesh tefilas, 5 immersions, v'asar kedushin, and 10 times of sanctifications of the hands and the feet, was toivul kohen gadol umikadosh babiyam, that he would immerse the kohen gadol, and that he would sanctify on that day of Yom Kippurim. Now, v'kulin b'kodesh, all of these tefilas were done in a sanctified area, that is, the mikvah was in a mekudesh part of the azar, which was b'beis ha-parva, was on the roof of the lishkas beis ha-parva. Chutz mirshon, except for the first tefillah, shahayis b'chayil, which was an unconsecrated area of the azar, and that was al gabi shahar mayim, that was on top of the water gate. Ubitzad lishkasa, he said, and that was on the side of where one of his chambers were, where the Kohen Gadol stayed for that week before Yom Kippur. Now, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, based on this brayse, Shemami, no, we can infer the following logistical understanding of the structure of the Beis HaMikdash, and that is Ein Etim, which from there was a canal of water that came up to the top of where the mikvah was, on top of the Shaar Mayim, on top of the wall, and that was what was called Ein Etim. Now, Rashi says, based on the Pesukim, it seems to him that this was the spring water of Menaf Toyach, which is mentioned in Sefer Yeshua, that from there the border would go down to the east and to the west, and this was the highest point in Eretz Yisrael. Now, this halacha that Abaye is going to tell us regarding this logistics of this fountain, this spring, where the Kohen Gadol would tevel, which was done, everyone would tevel, the first tefillah, when they would come in. Now, this is mentioned in the Gemara Masechta Zvachim, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, that they thought to build the Beis HaMikdash, when David HaMelech were deciding where to build the Beis HaMikdash, in Ein Etim, where the spring was. Now, then ultimately they said, let's make it a little low, because they wanted to make it the highest point. So they make it a little bit lower than the highest point, because it says a pasuk in Devarim Lamed Gimel, Uvein Kesef of Shachin, that the Shechina dwells between the shoulders, so just like a person's head is the highest, but it's between the shoulders, it goes a little bit lower. That was the concept they had, that it should be a little bit lower. Now from there we see that that's the highest point in the whole of Eretz Yisrael. However, it was never explained where this is learned out from. And now Abaye here delineates the logic to show how Ein Etim was the highest area. So he says that Ein Etim was gevoy mekarka azar, was obviously higher than the ground of the courtyard. Esther Mishalish Amos, 23 Amos high. Which that was with, as the Gemara will calculate, the height of the gate of the water was itself 20 amos, and then you had to add another 3 amos for the vessel of the mikvah, which had to contain 40 sa, and that is as what the Gemara is explaining is, and that's what Abai is coming to tell us, that it's impossible for water to go higher above atop a mountain which is higher than it from where it's coming. In other words, the pull of gravity would not allow the water to go higher and climb up a mountain to go up on top of the gate of the water. Must be, and this is what Abaye is showing, that must be that the canal itself went up there, and therefore Ein Etim, this spring, was itself at the highest point of Eretz Yisrael, and that is where the Kohen Gadol would immerse himself, and that would be everyone would immerse themselves every day in the morning. This was the area of the Chayil. This was different than the other four tefillos he did that day, which was in the sanctified part. This area of the Ein Etim, where they would travel in the morning, was in the area of Chayil. Now, so he explains, it's not like we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Midas. How do we see that, again, that it was 23 amos higher than the courtyard floor? Because the Mishnah tells that all the gateways that were there in the Beis HaMikdash, all them had a height of 20 amos, and their width was 10 amos. Chutz Mishal Ulam, the one exception was the one of the antechamber, which opened up the structure of the Beis HaMikdash itself, the building structure, which that had a height of 40 amos and a width of 20 amos. So automatically, there's already a height of 20 amos that we're talking about above the floor of the courtyard, because we're talking about it was on top of the Shaar Mayim. Now, Vatanya, additionally, we learned in the Braisa, there's a pasuk in Meyikra that says, Verachatz, that one should wash himself. In other words, a reference to the immersing in a mikvah, and later on says the word besarai, his flesh. Now it says over there in the pasuk b'mayim that he should immerse himself in water. What that means is b'mei mikvah. That's a reference of the Gemara elsewhere darshans to the gathered water of a mikvah. Then it says over there in the pasuk kol besarai. This is in context of purifying oneself in the mikvah. Then he should purify all his flesh, which means mayim shekol gufo oil b'hen. Water that all your body could be contained inside, that's how much water the mikveh has to contain. V'kamehen, now how much measurement is that? So that's amma al amma, it's an amma by an amma. Berum gimel amas, with a height of 3 amas, that could contain a normal person inside that area. That's how how much of the area has to be. Now v'shir chacham emei mikvar bamsa, now the chacham estimated, what would that mean in regards to the measurement of the actual water? That would require 40 sa. And therefore, you see that it has to have a height of 3 amos. So we're talking about that must be that this spring water itself, the spring, the Ein Etim had to be 23 amos higher than the floor of the courtyard. Because again, we say gravity will not allow it to just climb up by itself. So it must be the canal itself got up over there. The highest point there, it's Yisrael. And that's where everyone would tevel every morning. This was the one in the Chayil, which we said was on top of the Shahar Mayim. That was 23 amos above the floor of the courtyard. Again, because 20 amos of the height of the opening itself, of the Shahar. Then another 3 amos, which the vessel itself, the mikveh, has to have that height. And that's where the water has to be going into. It has to be at least a little bit more than 23 amos. Now, the Gemara continues on with Beis, but asks a question now. So Abaye said, so you said it's 23 amos higher than the floor? But the Gemara asks, but vo'ika amah tikra, there's more amos that it has to be in height, because there's the amah of the ceiling, and that is the thickness of the ceiling of the gate. In other words, a gate requires 2 sides on the top. That gate had to have an amah itself of the structure of the gate, and the amah ziva. And it also has to have an amah of the floor of the mikveh, which it was made out of a combination of cement and sand, which was put together, and so that the water could settle on the floor of the mikveh. So that's besides the depth of the cavity of the mikveh, where that's where the person would sit, and you have to have a floor for it. So there's another 2 amos. So it's not just 23 amos above. He should have said there's 25 amos at least that has the height of Ein Etim. Why do you say just 23? Because you have to have the roof of the gate and the floor of the mikveh, which is right on top of that. So the Gemara answers that Sha'arm de Beis HaMikdash, the gates of the Beis HaMikdash, kiven de shishinin, since they were made out of marble, b'mashu abdiluhu, with just a minute amount, they were able to make the ceiling made out of marble, and hence they didn't require a floor of the mikveh, because the marble ceiling was enough to contain the walls that were or surrounding that area of the mikveh, and therefore that there was no amah tikra and amah maziva, because it was made out of marble, and just a small amount of that is enough to contain the structure both of the mikveh and of the gateway. But that's the Gemara, but there's still a minute amount. What are you doing saying it's 23 amas? It's going to be more than that, because the marble, whatever the top of the gateway, the space of the gateway is 20 amas, but then the top requires something too. And that the Gemara says, Akivin dolehavi amsa, since it wasn't amma, it was whatever it is, a tefa, then it wasn't counted because it's not considered significant enough. He was just saying in terms of amas that it has to be at least 23 amas. It has to be at least 23 amas from the ground. Now the Gemara continues, that, quoting from the Mishnah, that the Mishnah said, Parsu sadin shalbutz v'chulu, that when the Kohen Gadol would immerse himself in the mikveh, so to create a separation between him and the people that shouldn't be seeing him when he's going to immerse himself in the mikveh, so they would spread up a linen sheet dividing him and them. So the Gemara asked, Maishna shalbutz, why was it necessarily made out of linen, and we're even saying it as a significant factor that this is what they would do? So that the Gemara says, Kedam Rav Kahan, like Rav Kahan says later on, that Kedeshi Yakir Shavoyda Sayyim Bibigde Butz, that the Kohen Gadol should recognize that the Avoyda of today is done in linen. So Hachanami here in reference to the Kohen Gadol immersing himself in the mikveh was the same idea. Shiyakir Shavoyda Sayyim Bibigde Butz. Now when he's going to immerse himself, he should recognize that what is the service of today? It's with linen garments. And that's because what he should realize conceptually is that the Avoyda today is an Avoyda. It's a different type of service. It's done with linen garments. And that's because he was accustomed every day of the year, besides today, he would wear the Shemayin Begadim, which a lot of them was made out of gold, like the tzitz on his forehead, and the chayshin, and the ephod, and the different bells of the me'il, they all had gold. And that was a different, conceptually, a different type of avodah. And therefore, he had to see the linen to remind himself, oh, today is different, today is Yom Kippurim. Today is one just made out of this dal begadim of linen, and that was the reason why they used that as a separation between him and the people when he was immersing in the mikveh. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah and gets into the details of the Avodas Hayom. So we're at the first tefillah now, which is when he's starting off, taking off his Bigdei Chayil and going into starting the Avodah of the day. So the Mishnah tells us that Pashad, he would take off his clothing, Yared, he would go down into the mikveh, but Tavol, and immerse himself. Olav, and the Stapik, then he'd come up and dry himself off, and he would wrap himself with some type of a cloth robe that would dry himself up just by wearing it from his flesh, and then they would clean him off. He vilei bigdei zahav lavish. Then he would go ahead and put on his regular bigdei kohen gadol, which would be the golden garments, the vestments of his 8 shmeinim begadim, belavish, and he'd put them on. V'kiddush the b'ragav. Then he would go ahead and sanctify his feet and his hands, which means that he would wash them from the kir. As the Gemara later teaches the Daf Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, that for every time he went and switched his clothing, which is when he would do a tefillah, so then he would go ahead and do a sanctification when he would take off his garments, and another sanctification, in other words, wash his hands and feet again, when he would put on his new garments. Now, however, this first immersion in the mikvah, which he was taking off his weekday clothing, on there, as the Gemara will explain, we see, as demonstrated in our Mishnah, that they did not require a kiddush and amar glayim when he was taking off the weekly clothing, only as we said that he would immerse himself in the mikveh, and then only the one after, when he's putting on his big dikuna, did it mandate a kiddush and amar glayim. So then he viu layas atamid, so they would bring him the carbon tamid, which was the first carbon brought every single day in the morning. Kiratzai, he would then make an incision, and the Gemara will explain how much exactly did he cut when he did the shechita. Umerik achar shechita al yad, and then another person would come after him and conclude the shechita, finish it up for him. And the reason is because the Kohen Gadol himself had to quickly go ahead and receive the blood through the Kabbalah, because all the avodas of the day of Yom Kippur were only kosher to be done through the Kohen Gadol, and therefore he had to quickly go ahead and get somebody to receive it, so he couldn't finish during the shechita. So he would start do enough to be halachically a shechita, and then someone else would come and finish it off, and he would go ahead, and as the Mishnah tells us, kibul es adam, he would receive the blood, bezraka, and then he would throw the blood. Then, after he did the avodas in the Karban Tamid, nechnes lahakter keter shel shachar, he would go in to the Beis HaMikdash to sacrifice and burn up the incense of the morning, which is brought every single morning, ulehetar v'saneris, and then to prepare the candles of the menorah, ulehakar v'saroish v'sevarm, and then to sacrifice the head and the other limbs of the Karban Tamid. V'hachavitin v'sayayin, and he would also bring his Karban Chavitin, which he brings every single day, and the wine. Now, the Mishnah clarifies that, regarding that we mentioned, the Keteris that he would bring, so the Mishnah tells that Keteris Shal Shachar, regarding the order of what the Avodah was, so the morning Keteris, Ha'isekreve Ben Dam Levarm, it was burnt on the coals between the blood, which would be the Zriko of the Karban Tamid, and the Varm of the burning of the limbs. Shal Ben Arbaim, the one of the evening Keteris, was Beinivarm Lenesachim, was between the burning of the limbs and the bringing of the libations of the carbon tamid. Now, Mishnah concludes by telling us, because we're discussing over here primarily in this Mishnah, as it started off with the tvila that the Kohen Gadol would do, the first one starting off, Simhoi Kohen Gadol Zakana Isnes, if the Kohen Gadol was an elderly person, or he was very delicate in nature, then Mechamaloi Chamin, they would heat up water for him from Erev Yom Kippurim, and then they would place this warm water on Yom Kippurim, into the cold water of the mikvah, so it should take out the chill of the water of the mikvah. So now the Gemara tells us, relating to the Tana of our Mishnah, Amar Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan, these are the students of Rapapa, they said, Kamedra Papa and Fandra Papa, that, ha, our Mishnah, which, as we already illustrated in Mishnah, does not say that there should be two kiddush yudayim regalayim, two washings of the kir by the first tevila. It only says to be tevil and then afterwards to do a kiddush yudayim regalayim, which is only one, in contrast to a regular tevila during the day, which he did one before, one after. Obviously, our Mishnah is delay kremeya. It's not like Remeir's opinion is recorded later on, that he argues in the Mishnah regarding, the second tevila, on the opinion of the Rabbanan. Rabbanan held that the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, which was the one that came before the immersion, would be before the Kohen Gadol would first take off the clothing that he's taking off. So first he would do the Kiddush, then take off his clothing, then immerse in the mikvah, and then he would get dressed, and then do the second Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. But Remeir held that no, that first he would take off his clothing, then he would do the Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim, and right after that he would go into the mikvah, and then get dressed, and then do the second one. As the Mishnah later on, Daf Lamdal, Daman Beis says, the Remeir tells us, Pashat v'kiddush. First you take off your clothing, and then you do Kiddush Yadayim Raglayim. Now, the students of Rav Papa inferred from this, there must be, what Remeir holds, is that the Kiddush that's necessitated between the different garments that one is changing, as the Gemara will later on learn, which requires a tefillah, they're both for the purpose and the objective of the new clothing that he's putting on that's in place of the first ones. And therefore they said that obviously our Mishnah is not like Remeir. D'i Remeir, because of a Mishnah is like Remeir, kivan d'ama trei kiddushi alavisha avalahu, since he says that both of the kiddushi yadayim raglayim, both the one before the tefillah and the one after tefillah, are really in the sense for the, they're really just a way of preparing for the new clothing he's going to put on, And that's why they were learning in Ramea's opinion that you don't do it before you take off the clothing that you're taking off, because that would be as if it's for that purpose. Rather, first take off your clothing, then do the Kiddush Adam Galayim, because that's in the way you're done with the old, and it's a way of preparing you for the mikveh, and then after the mikveh and you get dressed, then you do it again. So you see, it's part of that, in contrast to the Rabbanan, who they say that no, first you do Kiddush Adam Galayim, then you take off your clothing. So it seems like it's for the purpose of the old, and then you immerse, and then you get dressed, and then you do the Kiddush Adam Galayim. So once for the Peshitta, and once for Levisha. But it seems like Remeir, they're both for the next Levisha. If that's the case, then Hachi Nami here also by the first immersion that the Kohen Gadol does in the day, La'avitrei Kiddush HaLevisha, he should still be doing two Kiddush Adam Galayim for the dressing that he's going to be putting on, because what is he going to be putting on after this first immersion? The Big Day Kiddush, which is the Shemayin HaBagadim. Now that requires a Kiddush Adam Galayim, as we see he does after he gets dressed, so therefore it should require before his immersion in the Mikvah too. Obviously, our Mishnah is not like Remeir, and rather it's like the Rabbana, who they say that the first one's for the Hafshata, and the next one's for Levisha, but the first one you're taking off weekday clothing, that doesn't come into the Cheshbon. We're not considering that, because it's only between Big Day Kodesh and Big Day Kodesh, as we had learned on the previous daf. That requires on each one a Kiddush Adam Galayim, but here the first one won't be counted, because you don't have it coming out of a Big Day Kodesh. But obviously, our Mishnah is not like Remeir. So the Rabbana said to his students, no. Bein l'Rabbanan, bein l'Rameir, chada pshita de Big Day Kodesh, you're learning it wrong, interpreting the machlokes wrong. And that is, both of them agree that one of them, meaning the first Kiddush Adam Galayim, is for the, it's conceptually related to the previous clothing that you were wearing, regarding what you're taking off. The chada levisha, and the next one, is for the new clothing you're going to put on. And therefore, Rav Papa is telling them, that in our Mishnah, everyone would agree that since you're taking off weekday clothing, in other words, unconsecrated clothing, then therefore you don't have to have a Kiddush Adam Galayim on the first one. Now that's why our Mishnah could be like everybody. It only requires Kiddush Adam Galayim after the tefillah when you're putting on the new clothing. However, Hacha, he says over here, regarding the Machlaikis, regarding the second tefillahs, in other words, the future tefillahs besides the first one, that Remeir argues, and he says that first you do the Peshitta, first you take off your old clothing, and then you do the first Kiddush Adam Galayim. It's not because he holds that the first sanctification of the hands and the feet that is before the tefillah is because it's for the new, it's also like for the new clothing that you're going to put on. Rather, the machlekes is based on the machlekes and the gzeiras hakasav, how to interpret the psukim that mandate the tefillahs, and that is b'hakam efekim. What you're arguing is that there's psukim in Vayikra that tells us, it says ufashat, which that's its own pasuk. It says ufashat as bigdei habad ashalavash, that he will take off his linen garments that he's wearing. Now next to the pasuk ufashat that he'll take off, it says verachatz, that then he'll wash. It says verachatz es besor b'mayim b'makom kadosh, he'll wash his flesh in the holy place, which we said that's going on the remaining four tefillahs, because the first one was done b'chol. That's a tefillah that everyone would do whenever they came into the azara. And then it says in the pasuk v'lavash, which is v'lavash es begadim, and then he'll put on his clothing. Now the pasuk places strategically the concept of rechitza, of washing himself, between peshita, taking off his old clothing, and levisha, putting on his new clothing. Now, as the Gemara will later on tell us, that this term verachatz means in context of kiddush adam raglayim. And therefore, the Gemara will learn from there that we see that he has to have two kiddushay, two sanctifications of his hands and his feet, because they place verachatz, which is in the middle, both on ufashat, which is before it, and v'lavash, which is after that. So it's as if it's said in the pasuk v'rachatz two times. Now, on this is what is the machlokes Remeir and Rabban. Remeir sava, Remeir holds, makesh pshita, you equate, you compare the taking off, in other words, the kiddush adam raglayim of the taking off of the clothing, l'lavisha, to the kiddush adam raglayim of the getting dressed. As we said, you do one before of the pshita and one after of the l'lavisha. So he compares that. Ma levisha levish v'achakach mekadesh, just like by levisha, which is an action, that of getting dressed. It requires the action, the pa'ula, first, which is getting dressed, and then sanctifying the hands and feet, which would be the second Kiddush Adam Raglayim. As the Gemara later on tells us that everybody agrees that the second Kiddush Adam Raglayim is you first get dressed, and then you're mekadesh, and the Gemara later on will learn that out of psukim. So therefore, since there you see, do your action first, and then you do the Kiddush Adam Raglayim, so apshita. So too, regarding taking off the clothing, you do the pe'ula, which is the pshita, first. Paishet v'achach mekadesh. First you take off your clothing, and then you sanctify it. But again, nothing to do, Reb Pup is telling his students, because it's really for the later part, so therefore you do it after, you're doing it post the pshita. No, it's really for the pshita. But he's comparing it to the levisha, that you do the action first, and then you kiddush demaglayim. Rabban Sabi, the Rabban hold that no. They compare it in a different way. Makish pshita levisha. Yes, you compare the pshita to levisha, but ma levisha kashu lavish mekadesh. He doesn't equate it with the action, rather in the state that the kohen's in. And just like by clothing, where again everyone agrees, you have to be clothed and then you're mekadesh, apshita kshu lavish mekadesh. So it's regarding the taking off of the previous garments, it's also you have to be clothed when you're doing the kiddush demaglayim, and therefore they hold that you have to first do the kiddush demaglayim and only then take off the prior clothing. So that was what Reb Pup responded to his students, that no, not necessarily, our Mishnah could be like Reb Meir, and that's because he agrees that the first one is for the Pshita, and therefore since it was Big Dechel, we're not going to do a Kiddush Demaglayim. And this that he has, the Kiddush Demaglayim after the Pshita, was because of their Machlokes and how to interpret the Pesukim. However, Amalei Rabban Reb Pup, but the students said back to the Rebbe Reb Pup, can you say what you just said? That truthfully, that Reb Meir does not require on the first tevilah, like our Mishnah says, two kedushi, only one afterwards, like our Mishnah says, but by the time we learn the Braisa, that clearly contradicts that. The Braisa says, the first opinion mentioned is, Pirsu sadin shalbutz beinoy lebeinam, and we're talking about again regarding this area on the Ein Eitim, which was the highest point, which everyone would go ahead to immerse in Chayil before they came into the, everyone had to table on some unconsecrated area, and he would do it, the Kohen Gadol, in this unconsecrated area, the area of Chayil, of this mikveh. So this was the first one that, again, everyone had to do before they came in. So they would spread this linen sheet between him and the people. Pasha Yard V'Tavol, he would take off his clothing, he would go down to the mikveh, he would immerse. Olav in the stopik, he would come up, he would dry himself up. Hivile Big Dizav, then he would bring him his golden garments and put them on. And then Mekiddush Yard V'Raglav, and then he would only do one Kiddush V'Raglayim afterwards. Remeya says, no. Pashat, first he would take off his clothing, then the Kiddush Yad Biraglav, he would then, before going in the mikvah, he would do first a sanctification of the hands and the feet, then the Yad Vitavel, then he would go down and immerse himself, all of in the stomach, he would come up and dry himself up, and then he would bring him the Shemayin Bukadim, he'd put it on, and then the Kiddush Yad Biraglav, and then again he would do a sanctification of his hands and his feet. Now, here we're clearly talking about, in this braisa, regarding the first immersion in the mikvah, from the fact that Rabbanan only require one Kiddush Demaglayim afterwards. Now therefore the students were telling Reb Papa, obviously the reason Reb Meir is because he does hold that both of the Kiddush Demaglayims are really for the Levisha that he's going to put on. And that's why, even though it's going to be a taking off of weekday, of mundane, unconsecrated clothing, doesn't make a difference. He requires two, because it's for the Levisha, and the Levisha is going to be putting on Big Day Kiddush. And therefore, it's clearly that our Mishnah is not like Reb Meir. So Amalahu, he says to them, yes, Itanya, if you have a Braisa explicitly saying that you need two Kiddushi, then Tanya, then you have a Braisa that's supporting your logic in how to interpret the Machlokes of Reb Meir and Rabban later on. So that would be a clear indication that both of them are for the Levisha is going to do. However, what Reb Papa was telling his students was, had you not found a clear Braisa, you would not have been able to infer from the Machlokes, from the Mishnah later on, regarding the second tefillah, in other words, the next four ones, which are specifically the Makom Kaddish and the Yom Kippur tefillahs, because there you could say, like I told you, that's not because he holds it's for the Levisha, because although he's saying that it has to be the Afshata, and then the Kiddush HaMeglayim, that was because of the Machlokes regarding Gzeiras HaKasa. However, obviously now the conclusion of the Gemara is, as they just proved to the Rebbe from a Braisa, that obviously our Mishnah is not like Reb Meir, must be like Rabbanan, and that's why there's only one Kiddush HaMeglayim after the Tefillah. Now also, what's clear also now is regarding their Machlokes, regarding if you do it before or after the Hafshata, obviously it's like the students had demonstrated earlier, that depends if what is the purpose of that Kiddush HaMeglayim that comes before the Tefillah. Is it for the future Levisha? Then if it is, it has to be after the Hafshata, because it can't be before the Hafshata. That would be the opinion of Reb Meir. Or if you hold that it's going on the Hafshata, like the Rabbanan hold, and that's why by the first one in our Mishnah they hold that there is no Kiddush Demaglayim, they hold you first do it, and then you do the Hafshata, because it's a way of preparing oneself for this avoid of taking off the prior clothing. Now the Gemara asks, now based on this, that we just demonstrated, this Machlokes, Reb Meir and Rabbanan, So Bishlam Rav Meir, it's very well understood according to the opinion of Rav Meir. Now we have the final tally, and we continue Tabat Lamed Beis Amud Aleph Asar Kedushin. We understand that there are 10, as we said, there's 5 Tefillas and Asar Kedushin. We understand that there's going to be this 10 sanctifications of the hands and the feet for the 5 times the immersion in the mikvah, because each one had before and after, because as the Brisa demonstrated, Nalak our Mishnah, the Rav Meir holds that you can have one even before the first time he immerses. So 5 times 2 is 10. El Rabbanan Tisha Hava, but according to Rabbanan, you only have 9 because he immersed himself 5 times. And you have before and after everyone besides the first one, like we said, where our Mishnah says you only have one after. So that means you're only ending up with 9. How do you have the 10 Kiddush Dan Megalayims that he's supposed to have on that day, as our Mishnah said? So that Amalach Rabbanan, Rabbanan would tell you the 10th Kiddush Dan Megalayim that is missing, Kiddush Basra, the last one, is when he finishes the avodah of the day. And that is kipashat bigdei hakodesh, v'lavash bigdei chol, when he finally finishes the day of the mikburim, he's going home, he takes off his sanctified garments, and he's putting on his unconsecrated garments, avod lahasam. That is where he does the 10th Kiddush Dan Megalayim, when he comes to take off the bigdei kodesh. And this is really l'shitasim, it comes up perfectly according to their opinions, because Rabbanu would tell you, according to us, every time you do a Kiddush Dan Megalayim, one before the tefillah, one after, one is for the taking off of the clothing, and one is for the putting on the new clothing. And hence, when you finally end the day and you're taking off the sanctified clothing, you have to do a Kiddush Dan Megalayim then. The Pshit itself mandates a sanctification. But according to Rav Meir, it doesn't come out there's 11, because he doesn't hold that there requires any Kiddush Dan Megalayim on taking off clothing, as we demonstrated. Even his two of before and after the immersions in the mikveh, when he's changing clothing, they're both for the levisha. Hence, you'll have every time the tefillah in the changing, you'll have even the first one too, but when you're taking off, when you're finishing the day, there's no putting on anything new, hence you will not take off a kontra meir. And therefore, each opinion is going to have his 10. Kontra meir you have by every tefillah is going to require 2. And therefore, that's where he's going to get his 10, because they're going on for the future Levisha. And according to Rabbanan, although you're missing one in the beginning, because that taking off the clothing is not Big Day Kodesh, but that you make up when you finish the day, when you're taking off that Big Day Kodesh, according to them, that Havshata, first you do Kiddush and Megalayim, and then you take off the Big Day Kodesh, and then the Kohen Gadol goes home.